This coming Wednesday, March 10th, marks the 64th anniversary of the inundation of Celilo Falls following the construction of the Dalles Dam. Celilo Falls is recognized as the oldest continuously inhabited site in North America, and for thousands of years it was one of the largest, most vibrant trading sites in the Americas, with people coming from as far away as the Midwest and British Columbia to trade. Up until the inundation of the falls, it was also a tourist magnet that drew people from around Oregon and beyond to watch Columbia River Indians fish from platforms around the falls. Today, I'm talking with Lana Jack, Celilo YM activist, organizer, and director of the Columbia River Indian Center. The Celilo YM are a matriarchal, matrilineal tribe of non-treaty Indians, and Jack has now been struggling for decades for federal recognition of the Celilo YM. In the absence of federal recognition, the Celilo YM lack access to health care, and under U.S. law, they have no legal right to fish in the sites where their ancestor did since time immemorial. As a result, Jack's brother and sister have been repeatedly jailed and imprisoned for fishing on a river that the family has fished on since time immemorial. I spoke with Lana on Wednesday and Thursday of this past week about the inundation of the falls and about the links between colonialism, patriarchy, the exploitation of indigenous lands, and violence against indigenous women. On some reservations, indigenous women are 10 times more likely to be murdered than the national average for women. According to a report by the National Crime Information Center, in 2016, there were 5,712 reports of missing American, Indian, and Alaskan Native women and girls, but only 116 of those cases actually made it into the federal missing persons database. And in the vast majority of the cases, the perpetrators are non-Native men. Nationally, the city with the highest rates of missing and murdered Indigenous women is right here in our own backyard, Seattle, Washington. May 5th is National Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Day, and so on International Women's Day, let's ask ourselves what we plan to do on May 5th in our schools, universities, community colleges, cities, county, and state governments to address this epidemic. And it's important to note that it's not just Native women who go missing. In fact, Michael Murphy, the brother of Nimiipuu Mull Julian Ankeny, is among the missing. Michael Murphy is Nimiipuu and Shoshone Paiute. Before I play excerpts from my conversation with Lana Jack, I'm going to begin with audio that Lana recorded on the Columbia River on Friday by the site of Celilo Falls. Here's Lana Jack.
A drum call to the ancestors. And even as I sit here next to the falls, who is alive and not dead, an eagle answers the call. A fish jumps. The seagulls swarm. In remembering Celilo Falls, I'd like to just take a moment of silence. I am reminded of a time when our people were free here. Free to breathe, free to run, free to live the natural law to its fullest here at Celilo. Those days are gone. I remember my ancestors' words, as we are an oral culture people. I remember their hearts as they spoke. Well, a lot of them didn't speak about it because it was too hard to talk about the day they took Celilo Falls prisoner of war, put her in isolation. The great matriarch, our sacred ancestor, silenced. These are all the things that we as YM share in common with her. Coyote played a trick on us here at Celilo, hiding away in isolation in the falls, in the murky depths of the water that is now a Superfund site, so full of toxins, man-made toxins, that neither one of us is allowed to breathe freely on this earth as our Creator made us to be. We belong to this river. It is our lifeline. In the distance, across the river, we can hear a train rumbling by. It is violence to our spirits. Our identity is intrinsic in that we are this river. We are this land. It made us heathens and savages, pagans, for knowing that the voice of all the animals, birds, fish, water, air that were created before us were sovereign on their own by natural law. The sacredness of our way, the Sinwitki, our way of life as a people here in our longhouses. My great-grandmother Minnie Wesley Showway, my grandmother Irene Williams Bruno, were the head woman here when they came to annihilate us, to displace us, to relegate us, to disenfranchise us as the inherent sovereignty, as the voice of this dead territory. Even as we are defined in so many marginalized writings out there, speaking to what people think they know about an oral culture, how does that translate? A linear world defining an oral culture. Much is lost in translation, is all I really have to say on that note. But we sit here today and we still have the knowledge, as our ancestors are with us. They're in our blood, in our bones, just like Celilo is in our blood, it's in our bones, genetic markers to who Creator says we are as a people, the clay of the earth that He took to form us as the two-leggeds here, the law that He laid down before us to live by here at Celilo. At the falls. And even when we were cave dwellers on the hillsides before this river even existed, we've been here since the first dawn. We're a five dawn people. Our spiritual ways of being and knowing is beyond the linear world concept or construct of who they say we are. In terms of sovereignty, we've been here since the first dawn. Today I give to a pelican some frozen salmon and steelhead. There is no monetary value in this transaction and to feed one of our ancient ones. You see, they were here before us. And that's what we understood as a people. That's what we were governed by, that those things created before us were greater than we, the two-legged.
And again, I spoke with Lana Jack on Wednesday and Thursday of this past week, and here are some of the excerpts from that conversation.
The first thing that a colonial settler would want to do was to disempower our women as even having a voice or a say. In a time when they were getting ready to flood Celilo Falls, it was said that these women, my grandmothers, had no right and had no say. Like, they weren't going to inherit nothing here at Celilo unless they got married to a man and that man spoke on her behalf. The colonial, I call it toxic masculinity, personally, patriarchal society that would condemn a matriarchal society, just not wanting to acknowledge or value carried our women as the voice of our people and as sacred. It's a shame because what boarding schools did, what the institutions of this United States America has done to our families is I'm a woman left here on site at Celilo Falls. And yes, I have to fight to stay with the falls and with the bones of my ancestors, my mothers. And it's still a matter of disenfranchising as if though we have no say, as if though we're not even alive. Because there's no man to speak for me here. So I've got to speak out for myself and for my ancestors and for the injustice of flooding our sacred site and killing the river and killing the salmon. And our roots are disappearing and our huckleberries are being raped in the mountains by rakes. People are just raping the floors of the mountains for the huckleberries. We're at a time when everything's about to go extinct, and it's complete shame because it's all symbiotically interconnected. This matriarch society and the land that we have inhabited for longer than 10,000 years.
I just want to jump in with a quote from Lisa Brunner, who's the executive director of Sacred Spirits First Nations Coalition. They treat Mother Earth like they treat women. They think they can own us, buy us, sell us, trade us, rent us, poison us, rape us, destroy us, use us as entertainment, and kill us. I'm happy to see that we're talking about the level of violence that's occurring against Mother Earth because it equates to women. What happens to her happens to us. And just want to note really quickly that there is a report in the Atlantic magazine that talked about especially the influx of men to man camps around like the Bakken, around tar sands, you know, wherever these kinds of extraction booms are happening, you get all kinds of predominantly non-Native men coming in. In 2012, after the Bakken really got going, the tribal police department reported more murders, fatal accidents, sexual assaults, domestic disputes, drug busts, gun threats, and human trafficking cases than in any other year before. And they saw this similar things in the sort of surrounding areas. And I just want to really clarify that the overwhelming violence against Indigenous women, it's overwhelmingly by non-Native men.
And that poses a problem, especially in Indian country, when our Indian courts have no jurisdiction over anybody except their own people. So a non-Native can come onto our land and murder us, and there's no consequences, because we have no jurisdiction over them. The institutions that have been used against us, starting with the military. I mean, they were on Vashon Island, and it was the military that was cutting down these trees to build big ships. Mm-hmm. But it was also, they were the ones who frequented the brothels that our women and children were taken captive to, mm-hmm, back in the 1800s. They don't talk about these things. It's not in the history books. And even when we say it, it makes us some kind of despicable human being, like as if we could conjure this mess in our head. It's our reality. It's our truth. And it hasn't been heard. Now that's at the forefront of many conversations.
You've been listening to a conversation with Celilo YM activist Lana Jack. Again, May 5th is Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women's Day. So if you are not already organizing something for that date, you've still got some lead time to do that. And again, this Wednesday, March 10th, is the 64th anniversary of the inundation of Celilo Falls. This has been Desiree Hilligers for the Olmo Variety Hour, and we're going to play out with Mother by Eulalie.